Let's do you want me to do it?
Yeah, sure. Shoot.
Okay, let's give this a shot then. Welcome to the Metafilter podcast.
Lovely.
I should have had you yell out yours and Jessamine's names at the appropriate times.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, we'll get that next time.
Yeah. This is episode 34 of the Metafilter podcast. A Jessamine list, the first one ever, but with more cortex.
Yes.
And we'll try and do these things every couple weeks instead of once a month, and we'll try and do them as hot three-way action from now on.
Yeah, the Jessamine list is a circumstance of random fate. She's giving a talk right as we speak, I think, was the deal.
Oh, I thought it was air travel. Yeah,
might have been. Maybe she's traveling to the talk. I don't know.
So, yeah.
Who knows what she's up to, that lady.
Oh, he's crazy librarian superhero. I guess usually we start with music stuff. It looks like November is super hopping for music challenges. I think the music challenge stuff kind of sometimes, you know, gets to be a bit much and people get burned out and they don't upload that much, but November's on fire and we're only halfway through it.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a couple things going on, I think. You'd noticed that one of the challenges this month is less than 1 minute, which is a really great idea because people are putting together these tiny little songs, and that's something I really love. I've done a bunch of that in the past, back when I was doing the Aural Times thing. Mm-hmm. It was kind of crazy, but yeah, people have been doing that. There's also been a thread. Someone started an idea of, hey, let's start an open thread in Music Talk where people can just sort of challenge other people to do specific covers of specific things, or request that somebody do a cover of song X or song Y. And there's been a bunch of that too.
Thread is that?
The thread is, I'll get you
Lyrics
there.
Without a Home?
The URL here.
Oh, right.
Yeah, favorite song, favorite MeFi musicians. And yeah, that's got a bunch of comments in there, and people have been running with that. So if you check out the requests tag or the cover tag, there's a bunch of stuff in there, too. So I think between that and the challenges, there's been a whole bunch of people just really active. Plus, you know, my theory is everybody's really, really glad the election's over.
That's what I was going to say. It definitely, like, one or two uploads a day is normal. And then after, what, November 4th, there's an explosion of creativity.
Yeah.
And it's like all this energy people are wasting on reloading 538 is now taken up by actually making music.
Exactly. I think everybody's sort of crawling out of their hangover.
And terrible economy, terrible news makes for good music, so...
Exactly.
The worse the economy does, the better off we are musically.
Yep.
I guess we'll pick out some songs. Do you have any favorites so far? I always feel like I have to catch up.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I've gone through some of the stuff this morning. I've actually been kind of bad about the content of the site this last week. I've been sort of adjusting to moving into the house stuff and the working from home thing. And so I've been like paying attention to the flag queue and having stupid arguments in a few threads, but not really paying attention to like the good stuff. So I went through some of the music stuff this morning.
Yeah, there's a lot to catch up on. There's just so many songs.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a lot of really good stuff, too. You know, it ebbs and flows. Sometimes it's sort of quieter weeks, but this has really just been a monster. So there's this...
The one-minute songs will make it easy to catch up.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Quick.
Yeah, you can get through a lot of those fast, which is pretty cool. Yeah, there's this cover of the Pixies song, Here Comes Your Man, that Oh Are They covered. It's just really fantastic. Very different sort of acoustic take on it, which is just kind of wonderfully done. You know, it's nice when someone does a cover and they really, you know, they don't just try and make a copy of the song. They do something different with it. And there's been a bunch of that actually in the last week because of that request thread. where I think people have been really going in interesting directions with some of the stuff. There's also this, we should definitely throw a clip of this in to get it stuck in everybody's head, but the Inspector Gadget theme, C. Simpkins did a jazzy sort of version of it that's really, really kind of awesome. And I can't get out of my head sort of way.
I guess we should just move over to projects and jobs. There hasn't been that many interesting jobs posted lately. They're all kind of web design stuff, but there was one cool job just because it was with B Short in New York, in Manhattan. Just once in a while you see like a pretty cool, you know, longtime user with a job opening, and it's like, hey, he's always perennially nice guy and probably a fun to work with. And, you know, if you're in Manhattan looking for a web or hardcore coding job, that looks like something to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like it when I see jobs from people who I just sort of think of as a Mephite, mm-hmm. and I don't really know them at all, and they go and post a job posting, and it's like, oh, they have a life. They exist in the real world.
And every time I've heard like a success story from jobs, it's always like, you know, longtime member hired another longtime member, and I had an instant friend at work, and, you know, there's, of course, the you can't fuck around too much at work because the other person knows how you're wasting the company's time exactly, but...
Well, you know, it probably depends. I mean, Sleepy Pete was working for me for a while there, and we just kind of had a mutual understanding that both of us enjoyed fucking around, and it worked out pretty well, so... But yeah, I can see how, depending on the situation, that could be kind of a weird, dicey... sort of extra social aspect to it.
It's like hiring a meth addict. Look, I know you're not going to be reliable. Sometimes you're going to show up to work with asphalt in your hair, and that's okay. Any favorite projects? My favorite was the Design State project by, gosh, how the hell will I say this username? Scurious?
Yeah, I think of it as Scurious.
Cool, you know, just sort of web design review site, but focusing on nothing but nonprofits. I think that's just kind of an interesting angle, because nonprofit websites are totally hit and miss, because it's always like that computer geek in the mailroom is the one who makes the website for that, you know, nonprofit, because they have no money. So, you know, the quality is all over the place, and this is sort of just highlighting, you know, good stuff, interesting stuff, tips and stuff on .gov and I think they're all .gov sites you're shooting for, or .org sites, something like that.
Apparently, the username is a reference to the genus that contains most of the squirrels in North America and Europe.
Nice.
I was hoping for a pronunciation guide, but no dice there.
That's the that's
squirrel.
The curse of the podcast is trying to say people's names when you just have to read them your whole life. I mean, the most popular project was this Channel 5 documentary title generator, which everyone thinks is hilarious, but I have no idea. You know, it's like some British thing.
Yeah, I know. There's no context.
It's sort of like a Lifetime TV, you know, movie of the week title generator I've seen before, you know, not without Meredith Baxter Burney's daughter or something. Loud, the wife is pretty hot. One kid is precocious and the other's dumb as rocks. Grandpa's in the basement and he sure does fart a lot. Ooh, three camera sitcom. Oh, no, wait. We always do Metafilter first, don't we?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're totally off the rails.
Shit.
Let me see. Where are all my Metafilter posts? I have lots of, like, epic comments.
Did you see Quap?
What?
Quap. Here, it's. I just found it the other day, and I think I missed the boat because this was a post that I think like Boo Radley made on Monday.
Oh God, yeah.
Did you try it?
Yeah, I'd heard everyone bitching about it and being like, "It's the hardest thing in the world." And someone posted a YouTube video to some guy sprinting like 100 meters, but it didn't even look nice. And I wasted. It is the most frustrating Flash game of all time.
It's fantastic. If you're listening to the podcast right now, go find the link and play it while you listen, because holy crap.
Yeah.
I defy you not to collapse into giggles about 5 minutes in if you can put up with it for that long.
It's only four keys, two for each leg, and you almost feel like you can understand it, and then it does. Oh, man, it's like... it's right there between like playing solitaire and hitting your thumb with a hammer. Like, it's just kinda sorta is fun, but then it's incredibly frustrating.
It's like, I guess I like this.
It took me 15 minutes to get to 2 meters.
I think Stavros mentioned that thread managed to get to negative 2.8 meters, which is the best failure I think anybody has on record so far.
Oh, yeah. After
just
a while,
a backflip. And
yeah, I just started going backwards. Backwards was easier than forwards after a couple minutes. It's just incredibly frustrating, but, I mean, fun, sort of.
Yeah.
Could you design the worst Flash game ever contest? And that was the contest winner.
Well, and you know, it pissed me off because I found out about that and I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I went and looked at the front page and didn't see it. There's like, man, I scooped them and I went to search and I found that. And I was like, damn, I was gonna try and pull in a nice discussion of inverse kinematics and sort of the physics of, you know, body movement to
look
like it wasn't just a Flash game, but.
There's all those Flash games of falling down stairs where you supposedly control muscles and stuff, but they're not that interesting because they're not that hard.
Are you talking about the one where you throw the guy down the stairs?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That was like an OpenGL game you had to download. But yeah, no, that was awesome. That was there's like stair something, and then there was the dump truck that was a sequel. Like you had to throw the guy through the windshield of the dump truck. And,
right.
Oh man. They're dumb, but those games just kill me. I love them.
This one felt much more difficult because it feels like you're like using quad and calf muscles with one button and like hamstrings and the other muscles with the other button. So it's just really complicated and hard.
Yeah.
There's no rhythm.
And the music in it, it goes into this really sort of stirring, what is that Chariots of Fire sort of feeling music that's really stirring as you're hobbling along on your knees with this like rag doll that's, you know, completely inept, and it's kind of tone perfect. I think it's pretty fantastic.
The other most perfect thing of the day ever was the live webcam of the Shiba Nui or Uni or whatever kind of puppies they are.
Okay.
On election day, a box full of puppies was just the best thing ever in the world.
Yeah.
It was absolutely perfect. I saw it a week before and I didn't post it. I was like, oh, that's kind of cute. As a friend who owns one of those dogs showed it to me. I was like, eh, that's kind of cute. And they're constantly asleep. But on election day, they were like fighting and biting and being super cute. And it was just, it just hits the absolutely pitch perfect. You know, the first 12 or 14 hours of election day, there's nothing to do except sit on your hands and bite your nails, and having a bunch of playful, cute, super cute puppies was absolutely awesome.
Well, there was also incessantly updating the election thread of the day, the one ended up putting the sirens on. but yeah, even that, well, that was kind of nice, actually. I mean, it was still everybody sitting on their hands, but there were a lot of people reporting on sort of their voting experience that day going in, which was really kind of cool, or talking about their voting experience in the last few days if they'd done early voting or whatever. So that was kind of nice to watch that sort of grow throughout the day. And I had to take solace in that, actually, because I was still at the day job on election day, and our corporate filter blocked the puppies, so I couldn't see them. Yeah. So everybody was like, everybody was reveling in the puppies. It was like, oh, that sounds really...
So this was your version of the puppies. It's
exactly.
Not as cute,
my puppies was Metafilter people being relatively civil.
Yeah.
It's like puppies, kind of.
It's so anticlimactic to vote in Oregon. I mean, I like it at home, but it just doesn't have the punch of the actual day. The actual day means nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
And the worst part is you get those fucking ads in the mail for like weeks and weeks, and I was done voting 2 weeks before the election and I was still getting pitches to, you know, say yes and no to certain propositions.
Yep. That was weird on us. We watched election coverage on just network TV, which is not something we do a whole lot of, and so we hadn't really been exposed to the inundation of political ads, and so we would watch the debates And then the debate would be over, and there'd be 5 minutes of like these awful local political ads and national political ads, and it was just such a weird experience getting it dumped sort of on us in an audio visual format like that, when I'm so used to seeing this stuff only every once in a while, the worst of the worst, via like Talking Points memo or something, when a really weird ad comes along.
Gotta keep your tail knit. Gotta keep your paws wide. Gotta keep your stripes straight. Gotta learn a new dance.
I want to mention this one more as just kind of a meta commentary thing than for the thread itself. But there was a thread that Grumblebee posted a few days ago about online Asperger's self-diagnosis quiz type thing, which sounds like the worst possible thing in the world in the first place, because get a bunch of people online to sit around and discuss whether or not they have Asperger's. But you know, it's at the same time, you know, as a point of self-reflection, I thought it was kind of an odd, fun thread. It reminded me of you know, the Viking thread. You know, this is the new, is it a literal or metaphorical Viking, but right. Cut down to the quick of just, you know, are you or are you not Asperger's? And is this test trying to diagnose you succeeding? And if you take the test and it says you're Aspie and you don't think you're Aspie, is that because the test is wrong or because you're an Aspie?
I thought Grumblebee admitted he was Asperger's-y.
Yeah, no, he said in the post, in fact, you know, and I think he said before, he kind of suspects he might be sort of in that territory mentally
I thought he told us like a year ago or something, somehow it came up, and it was made so much sense because, I mean, I don't know if, this isn't like groundbreaking stuff they have to cut out of the podcast, but like, you know, early on, Grumblebee was like one of the hardest people to explain ass metafilter to. me and Jessamine sort of explained things till we were blue in the face every time about what makes a good question, what makes a bad question. I mean, it helped. He almost seemed like, you know, ridiculously clueless, over and over asking us to explain, but it really helped to solidify the rules and stuff and come up with some sort of framework to be.
Yeah, sort of having a sounding board like that, something to sort of push against to really try and formalize.
Yeah, because we were
how you want to describe and codify stuff.
It was just like, what makes a good metafilter post? You're like, you know it when you see it. It's good. Like, I don't understand what that means. So that really, he helped us sort of codify the, we really don't want casual, what was the term I always came up for it? Idle curiosities is like the worst thing for Ask Metafilter in my mind. So, because he was loaded with idle curiosities. Like, what does a few mean? I think it was the early question we deleted and had to explain 100 times. Like, someone literally posted, it might have been him, how many is a few? Is that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's 3 to 7. You could go with several. Maybe several starts at 5. Is it 3 to 5? And like, what is it with you? And it was like polling the audience, and it was for this completely pointless thing.
Well, and you know, it's a classic discussion too. I mean, I definitely had that discussion a couple times in college, and it's fun to talk about. But yeah, I think that's a good example of something that, in retrospect, is probably not what Ask Metafilter is gonna, you know, best serve. And it's
early on we sort of identified like if you allow people to just go nuts on the idle curiosities. Like, what's the deal with meatballs? It would just be like, it would just be like all this noise, and then you'd have to find the needles in the haystacks of people actually wanting a problem solved. And we were like, you know, I actually like it when someone solves a problem, and maybe we can think of a way to just have that. I mean, without making it totally utilitarian, like insert problem, ka-chunk, here's your answer. You know, something in the middle. So, it was really hard to explain how many, asking too many questions, et cetera.
Yeah.
Gosh, why is there a space in your...
I don't know. It's you know what it is? I'm pasting from Notepad.
Oh, there's your problem.
I blame me. So this was the one other metaphor post that I really liked, and it was more of a happenstance thing, but it's a post basically just the Jürgen Leth, I'm probably destroying his name, but a film called The Perfect Human. It's just a short experimental film that's very minimalist, and you can sort of watch these reactions of people watching it. There's a mix of people in the thread who have seen it and who haven't seen it, and there's like these stark differences, and it turns into maybe not too surprisingly, discussion of, you know, what the heck makes an experimental film good rather than just something you can point at and say, it's weird, therefore I'm smart because I say I like it. Which, you know, it's a tricky thing. But, I mean, I'm a very far thing from a film major. I liked it. But I became aware of it because of a film that came along years later that Lars von Trier made with the director of the original film, called The Five Obstructions, where von Trier challenged Jürgen to remake his film according to five different sets of constraints that von Trier threw at him just to be a pain in the ass, basically. And then they made that into a film. So you've got these remakes of the film plus the discussion between them as they're setting up these various interpretations. And I really enjoyed that. So that's how I became aware of the film in the first place. And yeah, so it's a fantastic little watch. Even if you don't really like it, it's kind of compelling in its own way, regardless of I think your opinions on the overall value of it or whether or not it's a good film or whatever, which is not an argument I even want to try and get into here. But but yeah, I thought that was really nice. And it's one of those things where I've got real mixed feelings about, hey, I found this video, watch this type post. You know, I think some are better than others, but I think this is an example of when it really does work well, because here's an artifact that, you know, it would have been relatively hard to find this movie, you know, before 2 or 3 years ago, and now it's just there on the internet on demand. You know, just go to Google Video and boom. So
yeah, it would have been rotten on a shelf in some grad school film class.
Yeah.
My other favorite post is the mathematician jokes. Just because I have, mostly because I have some friends, two friends that are math professors, but also just because it's a good gauge of when people are going to geek out on some subject on Metafilter. I get to realize where in the spectrum I get to place myself. Like, half the jokes make no sense to me because I don't even understand high level mathematics, but for the most part, I'm somewhere in the middle. But there's so many jokes that are just so far, like Heisenberg principle jokes, where I'm like, which one's that again? But there's lots of funny, simple, even idiots who've only taken calculus could enjoy.
That's what Metafilter is for, helping you find your exact spot on the continuum of geekhood.
Right. And it's many flavors.
Yes. Along the various vectors.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. Someone should draw this, the infinite vectors of geekdom and where your place is on each vector. And then model it so I can figure out beforehand.
Yeah, there's like a star graph, so everybody's this polyhedron defined by their various points on the vectors.
Slightly furry, know nothing about Dungeons & Dragons, know a lot about recording equipment. Yeah, that would be cool. We could have numbers. We could have, like, you know, an absolute number that represents you in the continuum of a zillion geek vectors.
That's both a wonderful and a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I can get behind that, I think.
Kind of like a universal constant, the Metafilter universal geek constant. Everything else in Metafilter was just blah, blah, foreclosures, blah, 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 foreclosures.
Well, there's some post-election stuff, too. Even some stuff we didn't delete.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought the election stuff would be over, but good job. People had to do a victory lap and post a lot more stuff.
Well, you know, it was going to be such a huge moment of catharsis, and I think I said something like this in MetaTalk, but, you know, it's not shocking that coming up to election day, people were actually really kind of focused on the election thread, and then once the election got called, there was, like, the other election thread. Mm-hmm. And so we had, like, 24 hours or so of people actually being pretty solidly, you know, in one place and sort of on topic about it, and that was all. And there was no crazy election day storm of posts that we were kind of worried about. But then, like, the 5th and the 6th, it was like, okay, now let's talk about everything else about the election, because I can't talk about whether or not, you know, Obama or McCain's going to win anymore, and I've got all this energy, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, you know, and I feel like people were just kind of vibrating still, and so it turned into this giant flurry of posts, especially last week, but there's been some of it sort of spilling over to this week, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it feels like we've sort of come out the other side of it mostly now, though. People are mostly posting about just substantial stuff and not just any old thing, so.
Yeah, let me pull up my Ask Metafilter stuff for the last month. Huh, there's a Metafiltery one. I don't remember that. How do you find interesting things? How do people do it? How do people find interesting posts? And it's all these, like,
Oh, wow, I totally missed that one.
Yeah, it's almost like, hey, we should delete it. This is more meta-talky, but it's all like, here's how to, you know, follow a couple super bloggers. Here's how to troll Delicious. Delicious is still good. Reddit, dig. It's just too much, though. Yay for no one marking StumbleUpon is a good answer. Spammer's friend StumbleUpon.
You know, and it's not, I'm not sure it's even StumbleUpon's fault per se. I mean, they're not necessarily doing anything wrong. They've got a weird model.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with that, and it's been around for a while, and they've stuck with it, okay. But it really is one of those things. Yeah, it feels like sort of sausage making stuff here, I guess. But it seems like it's one of the stronger indicators we see when we Google someone if they're going to turn out to be a self-linker when they make their first post.
Yeah,
it's like a heavy, what's up with this person? StumbleUpon account. Uh-oh. Yeah.
Heavy.
So not everybody who has a StumbleUpon account is a spammer, but almost everybody who's a spammer has a StumbleUpon.
Exactly. One of my favorites was the family jargon thread. This is like the closest you can get to chat filter. I mean, it's someone like practically like, I'd like to write a book, or hey, let's all go first. Just, you know, everyone's got their secret code. You got these like shortcut jokes you use only among your family. And the person's basically asking for people to share them. And there's a lot of stories of like, you know, when Carl was, my brother was 5 years old, he said something funny, and now whenever something horrible happens, we say, you know, you're pulling a Carl or something. And these things are hilarious when you read them out, and I shared mine. Hey, I got a best answer.
They're just sucking up to you.
Yeah, totally. but yeah, like we all have these like code names for each other, code names for situations, and there's just a lot of funny family crap in this thread. That was good reading.
It's a good question. It's one of those things where I looked at it kind of strongly initially because it was like, is this really just going to be a big old chat filter nightmare? But yeah, the question is good and the answers are good. And it's one of those things where this is one of those times we almost kind of have to throw in and put up with the kind of nightmare of trying to moderate something like this where, you know, there's going to be stuff that's kind of just genuine chat filter answers, and we need to sort of hem some of that in, but then there's a lot of stuff that's more in that gray area. And
I remember like an hour into it, there's just as many flags as favorites, and it's always a good sign that something's going to push boundaries in a good way. That like,
exactly.
It's going to annoy people, but it's also going to have something worth keeping around.
Yeah.
Did you see the viral book, strange book in the mail thing? That was the most popular thing.
I did see that, yeah.
I didn't read about it, except for people are just trying to track down, like, what the hell? Why did someone get a free book in the mail?
Yeah.
I get lots of free books in the mail, but it's always it's always like these book people, promoters, that just go through a list of bloggers. And
I'm going to talk about the election one more time, but not really. But one of the Ask Me questions I flagged actually was a question about why we don't have national voting by mail, which I think the short answer was, well, we don't have national voting by anything because it's, you know, it's a state thing as far as how they're going to implement their local elections. But it's one of those things where I look at it, I'm kind of like, yeah, I mean, we in Oregon, we've had vote by mail for 10 years now, and it works great and it's awesome. And why don't we have this? So it's kind of interesting to see people covering a little bit of the sort of existing sort of policy and arguments on it.
Yeah, it does. It does take the process away from you. It abstracts it enough to make cheating easier. I mean, the vote fraud aspect is the only thing I'm worried about with the Oregon thing.
Yeah, but at the same time, we've got explicit sort of we do Scantron ballots, and so of the sort of non-error-prone and relatively verifiable stuff, it's not too bad either. So, I mean, there's always a possibility someone's going to pull off some vote fraud stuff, but compared to the specter of the untraceable Diebold tampering, it looks pretty solid.
Well, yeah, it does feel like sometimes, I mean, I drop my ballot into a ballot box outside the courthouse, and sometimes it feels like it's been dumped into a black hole. Like, if you lived in a blue county and you were red in the mind, you could just sort of dump 50 in the trash and do your side, you know, a favor.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, massive scale fraud would be spotted. You know, they'd be like, why are we missing 10,000 votes, etc. So yeah, maybe it's not so bad. But that's my only worry about it. But otherwise, it's great. It's like,
yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that pick up more in the long run.
I thought there was a cool... this happens from time to time, election-wise. When someone posts a question or a post on Metafilter proper, and someone keenly, you know, involved signs up just to answer it forwards and backwards. So there's a.
Oh, are you talking about the Howard Dean guy?
Yeah. So there's a question about, like, why is Howard Dean leaving his post? Does he hate Obama? But then, you know, this guy who works, what is he, chief of staff? I don't know what he is. Is it real? Some guy signs up. Oh, here it is. He works for. Oh, here's the first post. The other one had more information. Here's a guy who works for Howard Dean. It's just saying,
the internet director for the Democratic National Committee in Washington.
Yeah, and he's going like, here's what happens behind, you know, quote unquote closed doors. It's really no big deal. You know, he knew he was only going to be with it for one term. He has nothing against Obama. You know, you guys are making stuff up, and there's everything we're doing behind the scenes, you know, and it's great. I love it when, you know, people sign up that are keenly involved. Sometimes it happens once a month, sometimes it happens, you know, 10 times.
Yeah, we had a couple, you know, we had a couple people do that, I think, this week, too. I mean, nothing mind-blowing, necessarily, aside from, the Josh McConaughey, or however he says his name.
Oh, we forgot to mention the other big election thing. John Tevis.
Oh, yeah.
John Tevis, the Metafilter user, was running for an unopposed Republican seat in Kansas Congress. So kind of, you know, low stakes kind of election, but
yeah.
You know, he's sort of, you know, ran, you know, what the hell, I'm just going to do it, you know. Funny to see, like, all his campaign materials. It's like, you know, it has to be like user interface engineer or something is like his profession. And having to explain that to people in Kansas, it was great, because 6 months ago, I'll have to dig up the thread, you know, it came up that he did the you know, XKCD style comic to launch his campaign and get donations, and he got all the donations he wanted so he could outspend his opponent. But, you know, he sort of, there was a great thread, I think we mentioned it on 5 or 6 podcasts ago this summer when it happened. You know, he kind of learned a lot in the Metafilter thread and all the blog posts about his campaign, about things like, you know, other Democrats hated or liked about it, and sort of formed his opinions. So it finally came down to brass tacks. He lost by, I think, 400 votes out of 8,000 or 12,000, something like that. So it was a total bummer.
Yeah,
to come so far and not quite get it. But for a place, I think, that votes super heavily Republican and going against an incumbent Republican, it was just so close.
That's kind of notable in its own right.
Yeah, it was just kind of amazing. And then he explains in this last comment, you know, an aftermath. You know, from the start, he was going to be like, you know, I'm going to be so net savvy and put everything on the web. It's going to be great. Twitter, blog posts, everything. But then he found out, you know, small-minded, small-town people, I think, is what shakes out, you know, where you have to, like, just be completely protectionist. Like, his only blog posts were, like, press releases you could tell were vetted 100 times, word for every word. There was nothing dangerous said. Everything was neutral. And you could tell that, basically, the opponents were watching him like a hawk. So, he didn't...
Yeah.
I was kind of bummed that he didn't exactly do it as a total, like, crazy, wild-eyed blogger trying to run for an office. It was more like someone just protecting themselves from being exploited, and they still got so sad that their opponent, like, pulled up every dumb photo on Facebook of them from the last 10 years and then made some postcard going, is this who you want running, you know, in Congress? This schmuck?
You know, and it's funny. I kind of want to look at that and say, ah, but, you know, maybe that'll change, you know, a generation from now. But it's not like this is new. It's just a little bit easier now to find random photos of someone. I mean, you still how many pictures of politicians as college students doing something that looks dangerously activist have come up in elections, you know, in the last, you know, 30 years. So, it probably won't change fundamentally, but I do kind of wonder if, you know, there will be...
There's got to be a
weird sort of cultural shift at some point where people are like, you know, every fucking one of us has a stupid picture on Facebook.
I like to imagine...
We all know it.
I like to imagine there's, like, everyone's building up a database of themselves, and now it's, like, completely literal. You can see it now because it's all on the web. And I keep thinking that, like, 30, 40 years from now, basically, there'll be no such thing as skeletons in the closet because everything will be Googleable. It'll be your entire life's database is out there, and at some point, people will just give up on pulling something out of context.
And maybe even there'll be some sort of paradoxical kind of flip where all of a sudden having a really, you know, thorough and vettable, visible history of embarrassing normal human experience will become the new credibility, you know? At some point, it's like, I Googled you and I couldn't find anything. What's up, pod person? You know, and I'm not too convinced that'll happen, but it'd be
so someday
be a nice
someone will win an election on having a more embarrassing Facebook photo of themselves.
Here's me passed out on the campus police station lawn and with a smiley face painted on my ass. Right. And such is my dedication to you, America.
We've all been there. Now put me in the White House.
Exactly. One other Ask Me post I liked, there was, and this is, it almost kind of hurts me to point out that I like this because I've been on a long, hard journey with the lolcat phenomenon.
Oh, God.
I know I got some grief, I think, at some point last year for deleting a couple of lolcats posts, but I pretty much made my peace with it. And there was this Ask Metafilter question asking about non-cat, non-dog lol animals. and it just became this roundup of all kinds of species, essentially. And it's really kind of a great resource of a meme in action. Plus, you know, it has that sort of cute animal photo side to it too, so it's kind of an all-purpose thread. It's
this is the edges of the lol phenomenon, right?
Yeah, exactly. The lol fringe. The
yeah. a lol tapirs was my favorite. That somebody actually registered and built that site.
It's a I love that about the internet.
Yeah. Here's a useful thread if you want to become an alcoholic is a. What are the best liquors?
Boy, do I.
What are the best liquors for the money? Like, what's, you know, someone was saying, you know, I'm stepping up from super cheap well drinks and trying to buy nicer alcohol to have occasional sips of at home. And then everyone breaks down. There's hundreds of comments here about, here's my favorite $30 whiskey or $40 bourbon or something. It's like nice, but not too nice.
I lurking behind the just sort of generalist web savvy who knows what normal person surface of Metafilter is a raging pool of functioning alcoholics, and it seems like anytime booze comes up, you get this wonderful wellspring of opinions. You know, it's almost like it's like if Miguel Cardoso didn't exist, we'd have to invent him in terms of this. You know, I almost wonder if, you know, this is an attempt by someone to get him to come and hang around a little bit more again. But I love this stuff because I've been doing the same thing, too. You know, I've been, especially Scotch in general, I've been trying to get into, and I've been going out and, you know, every couple of months or every few months, I'll go out and just buy a new bottle of Scotch or something I haven't had before and sort of exploring that sort of middle territory. So yeah, it's great seeing stuff like this where I can see people who've really put in their time, I guess, with their booze, given a heads up on what's worth checking out and what maybe not so much.
Is there any other Ask Metafilter posts?
That's it for me on Ask Me.
I guess anything happened in MetaTalk this month or the last 2 weeks?
There were a few things. There was that what thing has Metafilter made you buy thread.
Oh yeah, that was
kind of interesting. Yeah, I think it was like 150 comments or something last time I looked. So that was kind of fun. People just talking about, I saw this on Ask Me, or I bought this album from Music, or there was this post on Metafilter that I really liked.
Yeah, this stuff was all over the map. I drank stuff. I saw a band. I bought a clock. Like, incredible.
And there was it's National Novel Writing Month.
How's the Twitter project going?
Let me tell you about the Twitter novel project. I took several pages of notes in a brand new Moleskine I bought or Moleskine, Moleskine.
Oh yeah, whatever. Go yeah.
That little hipstery notebook. Yeah, it's a nice fucking form factor. So get off my balls.
Yeah,
but I bought that and I made several notes and I did some writing on the first 2 days and then I think I left my notebook at my day job after I quit. And I haven't written in it since like the second of the month on Twitter. And Fallout 3 is really good.
Oh,
basically,
cool.
Is how the novel's going.
Sweet.
Yeah, play Fallout 3.
My back of the envelope calculations was something you needed like 8,000 to 10,000
something like
updates.
Depending on how efficient I was with words, because you can get like 20 words into a Twitter. So like if I was being super efficient, it could have been done in like 2,500, 3,000 tweets. But I think something more like 5,000 or 6,000 would be more likely. And who knows? Maybe I'll get excited about it and keep doing it. I it's not going to happen this month.
3,000 would just
definitely
be 100 a day.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too bad.
That's 5 an hour if you didn't sleep. That's 1 every 10 minutes without sleeping. That's bad.
Well, and if you get on, I write relatively fast. Once I actually start writing, it's the pauses in between. So in a sense, Twitter almost makes more sense than sitting and staring at a word processor for an hour.
Oh,
but man. But yeah, that didn't really so much get off the ground. But a bunch of people are writing. There's a big pile of MFites, and they all sort of checked in on that thread. And RoboCop is bleeding, already hit 50,000, which is the magical number for the month.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, he did it in like 10 days because he's a dick.
Wow.
And and a bunch of other people making pretty good progress at more normal human speeds too. So
Jesus, I forgot to mention this is like the most favorited comment of the last eon. Was that? T. Christ, right? Is it?
Oh yeah, T. K. Christ.
Yeah,
T.
K. T. K. Christ's story of his dad not being the same after Nam, and one day, becoming a bit unhinged. It's just a wonderful, wonderful story. I would have contacted him to have him read it, but it probably takes 10 minutes to read. It's totally worth it. I should check my favorites. I save a lot of the popular favorite comments in Google Reader because they're just so good. They just make for awesome stories. Let me pull up my shared stuff.
While you're searching a quick another thread that came up in the last few days, sort of well wishing for Winoxus, who bailed across the front of a tractor, I guess, when he misread a farmer's hand signal.
Oh, yeah.
He's fine, and yeah, he actually checked into the thread fairly quickly, and it sounds like he got away really lucky. He's in pain, but mostly the pain that happens when you throw yourself off a motorcycle and slide 30 feet. But no real significant injuries, which is awesome. And he sort of talks about what went down in the thread and talks about his gear, and there's some good motorcycle talk actually in there. That was kind of a youch. Try not to collide with tractors, folks. That's you're doing it wrong.
Oh, here was the other thing. This is amazing, amazing comment. It wasn't meant to be a gotcha, but someone, let me see who did this. Ryomi, basically searched about a dozen Metafilter members who mentioned something about Barack Obama in January 2007 and then pulled up their last comment from November 2008. It wasn't meant to be a gotcha, but it comes out that way a bit.
Yeah.
Of just going like, I don't think this guy can hack it in 2007. Yeah. And then 2008, them going, "Woo, this guy's the greatest." It's
it's a nice sort of, it's a great little sort of artifact of how people's sort of takes on these things can develop over time.
I just love, I'm so tired of this guy in January 2007. And then, we made history a year and a half, almost 2 years later. But, Metafilter's such where it's close to chat. And, we say a lot of embarrassing things if you just put a microphone next to your friend.
Oh, God, yeah.
So we just happen to have this stuff frozen in time is just kind of hilarious to go back.
Yeah, and somebody found a couple old mentions of Obama too, and I think Civil Disobedience called the election for Obama sometime in 2005, which was pretty great.
Talk in 2004 after his speech, and going like, "There's no way 2008." I remember thinking 2012 maybe, but God, I wish it'd be sooner than that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I was looking through one of the old threads. I think it was actually a thread that, you know, said the first black president of the United States, Barack Obama, in 2004. Which I guess counts as a good prediction too. But yeah, people talking there, and yeah, they were all talking about, you know, 2012, it seemed like. And I was trying to figure out if that was, you know, he's not experienced enough, he's not going to be ready in 2008, or if it was, you know, this was like the convention, right? So it was like June or whatever. So it's people saying, hey, you know, Kerry's totally going to win it. So, you know, he'll go two terms.
Oh, God.
And then in 2012, then Barack can run, you know, or what it was. Yeah. It was a big thread, this old 2004 one. So I didn't read the whole thing start to finish, but yeah, it was really kind of interesting looking through all that and seeing various people's takes on, you know, what the implications of this guy coming out of the scene were. God damn it, we're talking about the election.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's enough.
Well, no. One more thing, actually, we have to do, just for anybody who missed it. The election prediction results thread in MetaTalk. If you're curious what ended up happening there and who guessed what, definitely check that
out. Wasn't it called a bit early? Like, you're still counting Missouri or something?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a couple early calls. I think the calls ended up being functionally correct, but... I didn't guess, so I wasn't super invested in the outcome, but I was sort of idly watching the results thread as it developed and people saying, well, yeah, but this state, we don't know for sure. And
so the winner is still the winner?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh.
Well, Missouri ended up going red after all, which was, I think, what the call was. So.
Okay, that's about it for this week, this 2 weeks. And sometime at the end of the month, I guess right after Thanksgiving, we'll try and do another one. And we'll have Jessamine driving the bus, finally.
Come back, we need you.
I've been holding out so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the floor. I've been sleeping all alone. I want to kiss you. Singing After Dark.